In her new novel, Testimony of an Irish Slave Girl, writer Kate McCafferty tells the story of thousands of Irish men and women brought to Barbados as indentured servants in the 17th century. Some came voluntarily with the promise of a piece of land and freedom at the end of 7 years of labor. Others were kidnapped, shipped to Barbados, and sold into servitude. For many, the promised freedom never materialized, and they lived their lives in slavery. McCafferty recreates such a life in her novel, as she tells the story of Cot Quashie. Stolen from the streets of Ireland at the age of 11, Cot must navigate her way through a world filled with fear, loneliness, and degradation. Through her, McCafferty recreates a painful and little-known piece of history. Kate McCafferty joins us now from the studios of RTE in Dublin. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you.
Kate, first, can you give us a little of the historical background of this novel? I think very few people really know anything about the story of how the Irish were brought to Barbados.
Sure, Lynn. Actually, pastiching together the history was a labor that took over 10 years from start to the completion of this novel. It seems that from the inception of Barbados as a British colony in 1627 to approximately the end of the 17th century, the conservative figure is 50,000 to 80,000 Irish men, women, and children were trepanned or kidnapped or stolen or sold to Barbados. And the high figure is more like 120,000.
The central character of this novel, Cot Quashie, she was a child when she was kidnapped. Was that common? She was 11 years old.
Yeah, that's really correct and common historically. The preface to this novel, it's a little bit academic in the structure, I think, Lynn, because I wanted readers to understand that this was fiction, but not at all fantasy. For instance, Peter Stubber, who was the governor of Galway in the 1650s, and I'm quoting here, used as usual practice to take people out of their beds at night and sell them for slaves to the Indies. And in 1656, Oliver Cromwell made his son, Lord Henry Cromwell, you know, the person in charge of the Irish situation, and he would receive orders, as a car manufacturer might receive orders, saying, when the new model comes in, we want 50 of these and 100 of these in red. Well, Lord Henry Cromwell, when he was requested to send, and I quote, 1,000 Irish wenches, end quote, responded that, while we must use force in taking them up, you may have such a number of them as you shall think fit to make use upon this account.
And Cot Quashie, whose story you tell, after being kidnapped, went through a harrowing sea journey to Barbados, and then is taken to an open market and sold in an auction. And I wonder if you could read the description of that, which is on page 36 and begins, I was a small girl.
I'd be happy to, Lynn. I was a small girl. Except where eyes and teeth bent down to me, I walked through two columns of shiny, well-dressed stomachs, reaching hands, jabots, and wigs draped round necks and shoulders. At the top, the captain waited, like a most genial host. Gentlemen, I start the bidding high for this young morsel. There was a spatter of laughter from the crowd. The captain told them I spoke English well and could translate to the other Irish, that because of language and a passive character, I was fit to train as a lady's maid, had they any ladies. More laughter at this remark. If not, he said, untying my cap and lifting out my matted curls, 'twon't be too long before she's ready to breed servants, and you may choose the father. His eyebrows flew up in merriment at this statement.
What I wondered when I read that was, I guess my own, perhaps, misconception that an indentured servant would be different from a slave. But it seems from this description and from the story you tell in the rest of the book that there was very little difference between being an indentured servant or being a slave. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And somehow the euphemism indentured servant, a servant, calls to mind you know, someone in a starched black uniform at a party or something like that. But while an indentured servant is under a period of bond, they are absolutely a slave. In other words, their master has power of life and death over their body. Their labor belongs to the master and mistress. In the case of Barbados, many indentured servants not only were gambled away or sold away and their terms begun all over again, but many were flogged to death or just outright shot, hung, whatever, for recalcitrance. So, yeah, they laid the basis for what worked as African chattel slavery later on.
Now, eventually, Kat does actually find some happiness with her African husband, who her owners decide she should breed with this man. But eventually, they deem it to be a true marriage, and they have a son. And I'm wondering if you could read a section that describes this period of time where she briefly finds some happiness in her life. And it begins on page 172 and begins at "How we delighted in all we found in common."
Yes, Len. How we delighted in all we found in common. We two people separated so by tongue, by race, by nation, creed, and history. Beneath the skin of differentness, we held so many of the same things to examine in the twin lights of belief and trust. There were the ancestors, who still dwelt among us and whose intercession we implored, although you think of these as ghosts. There was the high place of music, song, and dance among our peoples. I mean, how both our peoples know that music calls the spirit of things, the angels and the fairies, the sprites of earth and sky, and the animals. We knew that there are spirits everywhere, in the land, the stones, truly, the air is full of them, and animals have magic too, though maybe crocodiles and snakes for Coromantee folk, whilst hares and cows and wise fish for myself.
I'm curious how the Irish that you speak to about this book now, how they react to this story. Is it a story that the Irish seem willing to embrace, or is it one they don't really want to know about?
I find that here, like there, there are a lot of people who aren't very interested in history and, to my way of thinking, mistakenly believe that it's done with, it's finished, when in fact we're carrying it until we finish it. I live in a rural area. I live 6 miles from the top of Ireland, and there are people there who know songs that relate to this material. They don't go around singing them, but, oh yeah, wait, I remember my mother used to, you know, have this song. And someone actually from the nearest village said that when he used to spend the summers in his grandmother's farm, if he'd get into too much devilment, she'd say to him, "Get out of there with your Barbados, you." It's still alive.
Writer Kate McCafferty, her new novel is Testimony of an Irish Slave Girl. She joined us from the studios of RTE in Dublin. Thanks so much, Kate. It was good talking to you.
Thank you, too.